chapter number 44. I've got a couple challenges before me tonight. It was funny, Dr. Mitchell didn't even know what I was preaching. And he said, I'm glad when you're preaching, because usually it's in the middle of a series and you try to fit two or three messages into one. And little did he know that's exactly what I'm trying to do tonight. I'm mainly trying to preach one, but I have to give you the context. And I normally preach this in the middle of a series, so I'm going to try to give you a little bit of that context. The other challenge was they didn't think that I could be preached tonight without getting political with certain events of this last week. And if you know me, you would know what I'm talking about. But I'm not supposed to mention a certain flag, and so they didn't. They said I couldn't do it, and so I'm not going to mention it at all. Not at all. Didn't say a word. All right, but it is funny. There is a slight avenue in which it does go along with the message. It's funny how words in our day and age are twisted and changed. You know, if you want to just completely shut somebody up from telling him the truth, all you do is call him a racist. Then immediately they have to spend the next several news cycles explaining why they're not racist. Take words and we twist them. For some reason now, I mean, it's even racist sometimes in some areas to fly the American flag. Now, I haven't figured that out. You're in the United States of America, and you're flying, I still didn't mention the other flag, just want you to point that out. But you're in the United States of America, and you're flying the American flag, and it's offensive. Now, in what world does that make sense? It makes no sense. But we take certain words, and we twist them, and we make them bad words. We give them horrible connotations so that nobody wants to dare mention certain words, like a certain flag that was mentioned this last week. All right? And I'm saying all this on purpose because we sit here and we try to avoid certain words because we don't want to offend anybody. And there are words in the Bible that in Christianity today we ignore because we don't want to offend anybody. And we've totally misused the meaning that is biblical because people attach a different meaning or a different teaching and it's totally accepted. For instance, the word judging. All right? Now the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, this isn't the message, but the Bible says there that he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That's what God said. Yet the realm in which Christians are supposed to not judge has so permeated our society that when I was in Idaho, I was on I had jury duty. Right in the middle of a week, the Pastor Allison was out there to preach. It was horrible. But anyway, I didn't, for some reason, they didn't pick me on, to put me on the jury. But when they were in the jury pool, they asked how many on the jury were Christians. And I didn't raise, I raised my hand and a few other people there. And they said, good, and the prosecuting attorney, she knew me. We had had some dealings with some things. And she said, oh, now, Pastor Parrish, I'm glad that you raised your hand. Now, who has ever heard the term, don't judge not, that you be not judged? And I thought, oh, boy. And she wanted me to define for the entire courtroom what judge not, that you be not judged, means. Because she was afraid that if she had a Christian on the jury, they would never deliver a guilty verdict. Isn't that goofy? That's the goofiest thing. It's also goofy that she asked me, of all the other Christians on there, what I thought it meant. But anyway, we take a word and we make it a bad word. We take the word doctrine. Doctrine simply means teaching. And if it comes from the Word of God, another good word for doctrine is truth. Yet we make doctrine a horrible word. And another word that is made a horrible word today, and even starting to be permeating our independent Baptist churches as it is a bad word, is the word holiness. And all of the words that are surrounding holiness. Now it's interesting because in Ezekiel 44, and by the way, keep your Bible handy tonight. Lord willing, if I get to all of this, we're going to look at a number of different scriptures. I know many will be familiar, but I think it's important sometimes to go through and look at the scriptures, even when they're familiar to us. But in Ezekiel 44, verse 23, he's speaking about the priest here, and he says, here is a job that I want them to do. In Ezekiel 44, verse 23, he says this, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. He said, one of the jobs of the people who are separated from my service, who are the men of God of the day, one of their jobs is to make sure that people know the difference between what is holy and what is not. Between what is clean and what is not clean. Now it's interesting that that is the job, and we find that borne out in the New Testament as well. I realize I'm in the Old Testament. We find it borne out in the New Testament. That is the job of a preacher, and yet many preachers today shy away from this very word, this very idea of holiness, when it's one of our jobs to help the congregation know there is a difference, and some things are just not right. And some things are. Some things are holy, and some things are not. Well, Lord, tonight I'm going to try to address this idea of the importance of holiness. The importance of holiness. Let's have a word of prayer and get into it. Our God, Lord, we are grateful that we have your word and that it is the truth. And God, I'm grateful every time I get into the pulpit, I never have to doubt whether what I'm giving people will help them or not. Because, Lord, as long as I come from your word, I know it's truth that strengthens us and that helps us in areas of our lives. Now, God, I'm preaching to a lot of people who I believe know what I'm talking about tonight. But I think sometimes we need to be reminded, and Lord, there may be some that are maybe even newly saved, or they're just starting to hear about this idea of being holy and they're trying to understand what it means. I pray that tonight, God, this would be practical and would be a help to them. And God, that it would be a reminder and a challenge to all of us. And Lord, at the end, may it not just be a teaching time, but Lord, may it be convicting if there are areas in our lives that need to be changed. I pray we'd surrender them and get them right with you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of introduction, I'd like to just remind us of a couple things. One, the word holiness, there are a number of words connected with it. I'm going to mention a few here in just a minute. But with these different words connected with the idea of holiness, if you put them all together and look at the number of times that the words themselves are mentioned in Scripture, you'll find that holiness is mentioned at least 839 times. Now, when God says something once in His Word, that should be enough for us to listen and take note. But when God refers to it over 800 times, we know that it permeates and it spreads throughout the whole Scripture. And that it is an idea and that it is a doctrine and an important truth that we need to learn and be reminded of over and over again in our lives. I think sometimes as Christians, we forget what our purpose is here on this earth. We get so caught up with everything in the earth. We've got our jobs and we've got our ministries and we've got all these things. And we look at all of our activity, and I think sometimes we look at all of our activity and we think that is our purpose on earth. As long as we're doing something, then we're accomplishing good. But God put us here for some very specific reasons. One of those is to bring honor and glory to Him. And that's the supreme reason you were created, I was created, indeed, that all of creation was created. And another reason is for us, once we are saved, to make the Word of God and our lives bring honor and glory to God and bring other people to understand the glory of God. It's always about Him. It's never about us. It's always about Him. I think we would do good to remember that in our ministries. We would do good to remember that in our churches. It's never about preachers. It's never about people. It's always about God and His Word. It's important that we be reminded of that. And I think when we look at our purpose on earth, we can have a good understanding of why holiness is important. Well, let's look at a few things to understand a little bit about holiness. If you were to look at the Word of God, you'd find these words, sanctify, or any variation of that, sanctification, sanctified, hallowed, consecrated, separated, purity, cleanliness, and any of the variations of those words, as well as the word holy. And you'll find it throughout the scriptures, and sometimes the Hebrew and Greek words are translated, that they're the same word, and they're translated in all of those different words. Simply saying that all of these things, when we find them in scripture, they've got a specific meaning, but they do come back to that overall idea of being holy. So if we were going to put a definition to practical holiness to encompass everything, and I don't expect you to remember this or write it down, but I wrote it down to help myself kind of get a feel for it. You could say this: practical holiness is a lifestyle, a body, a mind, and spirit which are wholly or completely pure, divinely consecrated, daily separated, and spiritually clean before God and men for the purpose of fulfilling God's plan for one's life. Now you say, what does all that mean? Well, let me just put it in real simple terms. Everything about us belongs to God. How's that? And that's really that simple. I mean, I was trying to encompass all the different ideas and put it in there, but really it is as simple. Everything about us belongs to God. You exist for His plan and His purpose. Sorry. Well, how do we demonstrate that holiness? Well, there's a couple things I think we need to point out about holiness that are misunderstood. One is, what's the standard for holiness? Some people today would say, well, we are holy because if you look at our church and you look at that other church, man, look how separated we are. Look how good we are. I mean, our music is right here where theirs is over there. We use the King James and they don't. And we've got these standards and they don't. Look how holy we are. Well, there's a problem with that. And it's the very reason that as the world gets farther and farther towards the devil, the church gets closer and closer to the devil. And that is, we keep comparing ourselves to the wrong standard. We continually, God said it. He said, commending yourselves among yourselves is not wise. He said that over in, I'm going to say it, but I'm not sure. It's 1 Corinthians. He says, if we go around comparing ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. That is not the standard. My standard of holiness, I can go through this entire congregation, and it wouldn't matter what size the congregation is, and I guarantee that I could find someone that in my own eyes, if I compared myself to them, I could say, I'm more spiritual and more holy than they are. So what have you accomplished? Absolutely nothing. You're comparing yourself to the wrong standard. God gives us a couple standards in His Word. In 1 Peter 1, He said, be ye holy for what? I am holy. If you want to start comparing your holiness, you want to start thinking you're really all that, start comparing yourself to the character of God. Compare yourself to His purity, His perfection, His perspective. Compare yourself to those three things and see how you measure up. But there's another standard. In John 17, 17, He said this, sanctify. Remember, that's one of those words that goes along with holiness. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. And then what does He say? Thy what? Word is truth. So we compare ourselves to the standard of the character of God and the commands of God. But then we have another problem. We fix the standard of holiness, but here's the one that I have probably been misrepresented and lied about the most when it comes to this idea of holiness. And that is this: that standards or separation equals holiness. It's not true. Look at James chapter number 4. Wow, and I'm already in trouble. I haven't gotten to the message yet. James chapter 4, look at verse number 8. This is very similar to another verse if you're writing things down, Psalm 24 and verse 4. In James 4 and verse 8, he said, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. And then he uses this word, he says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In Psalm 24, 4, he said, who shall ascend in the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. What's God saying? Holiness is not just external. But holiness To the people who jump on the other side of the equation, holiness is not just internal. There are people that will say, look at me, I am holy, I'm right with God, look at my standards, I got my haircut right, I got my dress right, I got my music right, I've got all of these things right, look at me, I am holy, I am separated from the world. Well, if that's true, then Catholic monks and nuns and Amish and any others of a cultish communal type nature, they are more separated than we are. They're more holy than we are, if it's only external. And of course, that's the side, that's the ones that this side likes to use. And they say, you know what? As long as I love God in my heart, I'm holy. I'm right with God. You can't judge my holiness by how I dress, by how I look, by how I act. You cannot judge that. You're a Pharisee. And I would say this. If your only idea of holiness is the external, you know what? They're right. You are a Pharisee, according to the Bible. What is holiness? He said, clean hands. That's external. Pure heart. That's internal. You want to be holy, you've got to have both. I would say you cannot say because you have standards that you are holy, but I would contend that without standards, you will not be holy. Standards are walls. I like to put it this way. Standards are walls of separation that we put up to keep the world out, to create an atmosphere where God can work. When we're full of the pollution and filth of the world, we cannot allow God to work in our lives. So now that we understand a little bit about what holiness is, why is it important? Why is it such a big deal? And I would say holiness is important, in case I don't get to it all, in three specific areas. One, our relationship to God. That's vertical. Secondly, our relationship to man. That's horizontal. You say, now where are you going to go? You got the vertical and the horizontal, and you've got a third one. Well, I don't know what direction you want to say this one goes. Forward, maybe. But the third, then, the reason holiness is important is our relationship to God's plan. Our relationship with God, our relationship with man, and our relationship to God's plan. Look at Hebrews chapter number 12. You're there in James, perhaps. Take a look, take a left. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse number 14. Now, again, I know I'm using a lot of verses that are probably familiar to you, but I think it's good for us to be reminded of these things. And for some, this may be new. So I challenge you to look at it and listen to it. You may have been hearing all this thing about being holy and standards, and you're thinking, what in the world are they talking about? Well, I'm trying to give you just a bit of a feel for why it's important. I don't have time to explain all of them. Come to Pastor Vogelin's Sunday School class, and you'll get a good feel for all of that. All right? But we're just talking about why it is important. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, he says this, follow peace with all men, and what's that next word? Holiness. And then notice what he says, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I decided that I wanted to know God. I wanted to see God. I wanted to pursue God. I wanted to have a relationship with God. And most of us, we want to come to God and get comfort whenever we're in need. We want to come to God and ask for things whenever we have a need to come in prayer. We want all of these things, but we forget without holiness. God said you won't see Him. You won't draw near to Him. A simple example of that, a simple reminder of that would be this. Imagine if your parents, or if you're not a parent, what it was like when you were a kid, or if you are a kid, imagine what it's like right now. Whenever you have done something that violates the commands of your parents, it might be something as simple as you didn't clean your room and you knew you were supposed to. It might be something as simple that you didn't do this, or you didn't do that chore, or whatever. And you know, it's amazing when kids are in trouble. They don't come seeking you out. You ever notice that? Now, when they're not in trouble and they're really proud of something they've done and they want to show it to you, maybe they drew a picture for somebody and they're so excited about it and they come, hey, daddy, take a look at what I did, because they know they're going to get bragged on or whatever. They're going to get a pat on the back. Good job. That's great. That's nice. That's beautiful. What is it? All those questions that come up. And you're going to sit here and you're going to say all these things. They know that. But when they're in trouble, where'd the kids go? Or, you're used to that normal noise. There's just a level of noise that's chatter that is kids. And when it gets quiet, that's when we get worried, isn't it? And we go seeking them out. Adam and Eve, the first moment they sinned, we have no indication that God ever had to go looking for them before. But the moment they sinned, they were hiding. When we are not holy, when we are full of the world, we will not see God. We are too content with all the filth. You will not see God unless you are holy. You will not know God. Again, we've referred to Psalm 24, verse 4. He said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? What is he saying? Who's going to get near to God? Who's going to come in to that secret place where God and only God dwells? Who is allowed entrance there? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Isaiah 59, he said it this way, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. God wants us to see him. God wants us to know him. You're there in Hebrews 12. Look at verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Why? Why does God get on to us? That we might be partakers of his holiness. Every day God, in fact, it's later in the message, but I may not get to it. Go to Ephesians 4 because we're right here. Go to Ephesians 4. And verse, let's see if I can remember, 24. God says that we might be partakers, man, every time I get that P, that thing is exploding, that we might be partakers of it, and it's right here, isn't it, of his holiness. Verse 24 of Ephesians 4, and that ye put on the new man, which after God, in other words, in the likeness of God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. What's he saying? God wants us to develop, God wants us to be becoming our character, our new man inside, ought to every day become more like him. God wants us to own his character, in other words. Now, every day, whether I like it or not, My sons take on characteristics of me, and it's scary, sometimes. I'm thinking, can they pick up, do I have any good qualities here that my kids could find and at least imitate one or two of them? That would be really nice, But they begin, why? Because they're with me, they spend time with me, they want to be like me. And you know what? That is in essence what holiness is. It's us spending time with God and saying, God, I want to be more like you. When we are like the world, we cannot be like God. We cannot have a relationship with God. And remember again, what did I say at the beginning? Why did God create us? To bring honor and glory to him. Holiness is essential to fulfilling the purpose that God had when you were created. God had when you were born. You were created to be holy and separated to God. You were created to bring honor and glory to him. That's why you exist. Young person, it's not for you to have fun. Now we try to have fun. I like to have fun. I have a good time. I have a good time at other people's expense. I have a good time when other people are not having fun. I enjoy having fun. But that's not why I exist. And some of you young people, pardon me, let me be a youth pastor for a second. Some of you young people, that's your problem. You're so busy laughing off everything that's serious. And just trying to, when somebody gets on to you, you're like, huh, huh, huh. Yeah, you're a punk. And you're refusing the very thing that we know is necessary for you to have a relationship with God. You throw the dignity and the seriousness of God and you throw it away. And you go after the world, after your enemy. Holiness is essential. In 1 Timothy 2, he said, I will that the men everywhere pray, lifting up. What did he say? Holy hands. When we come in praying to God, we are to be holy. Secondly, then, our relation to man. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Now, here is the part that many who are opponents of holiness, they say is the real problem. They like to take the Apostle Paul when he says, let's be all things to all men. And they say, you know what? We cannot reach people unless we come down to their level. We've got to be more like them so that they can so we can understand them and they can understand us and we can reach them and we can reach the world. Well, it's amazing again how many times the devil's lies are always the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches. And that actually kind of makes sense because lies are the opposite of truth. But it's always contrary to what God lays out for us. In Deuteronomy 28, I know we're talking about the children of Israel here, but this picture is for us in the New Testament. We're going to go there in a second. In Deuteronomy 28, look at verse number 9. He said, the Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And then notice what will happen. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. One of the reasons we are to be holy, and it's important in our relationship to man, is because we are to a lost world supposed to reflect the character of God. I want you to understand something. If we go about and we bear the name Christian, we still, whether we want to or not, give them some idea of God. So if we go around and we are soft on sin and we refuse to be strong upon the Word of God and we refuse to be holy and we say, well, it really doesn't matter if you go out and you drink and you go out and you do all of these things. None of these things really matter. It's really no big deal. We just want you to like us. Then here's what we tell them. We tell them this is the way God looks at you. That's why it's so important, parents, to love your children and also discipline them. And by the way, if you love them, you will discipline them. Why? Because we are creating in their eyes a picture of the way God deals with sin. And that's why consistency is so important. Because if we sit there and we back off and we let them go ahead and get by with it, we're telling them, God's going to let you do that. And He will not. We reflect the character of God, and it should be that people fear the people of God. And I'll tell you something, any Christian who's willing to stand up and think for himself and actually declare the Word of God in our day and age is so unusual, we do scare the world. And we should. They ought to be afraid of our God because they keep going the way they're going and bring our nation to its knees as they already have. They are going to feel the wrath and fury of God in not too long. And perhaps we already are. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2. We must be holy to reflect the character of God to others. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, we see this same idea in the New Testament. But now it's a different people. It's not the children of Israel. It is Christians. And he says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Now why are we that way? that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, in other words, your holiness, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You see, you reflect the character of God and the commands of God by how you live. But God also said that that is necessary to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know what God's saying? God's saying that if you want to be a powerful soul winner, I don't think I'm stretching this here, that if you want to be a powerful soul winner, you will live a holy life. Your testimony of you being changed and different tells people you've got something real. Now, it may not get more people in our church or floods of people in our church because we're not going to provide another avenue of entertainment. But when we do bring them in, they've got the chance to be called out of darkness and the filth in which they live into a new life and be transformed into somebody that God can be proud of. That's a wonderful privilege. But they've got to see that you're different. And you've got to be different if we are going to reach others. I won't turn there, but in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, he's talking about the wife. And he says, if you are married to a lost man, if you will live right and do right, in other words, if you will be holy and demonstrate that before him, your testimony will reach him. It's important in our relationship to man. And finally, I'll just mention this. It's important in our relationship to God's plan. God has called us to holiness. Just to give a couple of examples, do you believe it was God's plan for us to have the Word of God? We all believe that, right? We have the Bible. You think God wanted us to have the Word of God, the Scriptures, so that we could read them today? Yes or no? We do, don't we? Who did he use to write it? 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, he said this, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's God's Word. It's His divine Word. It's everything that we need for life, he says in 2 Peter 1. And he used men, but not just any men. He used holy men. You know, we can have all of the programs, all of the ministries, and we can run them like clockwork. And I believe because we are declaring the Word of God and God said that His Word would not return void, it will change some lives. But we're not doing it in the power that we could be doing it unless we are holy and separated to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has called us to be holy people. And it's not just, you say, well, Pastor Parrish, I've got it down. I got the standards down. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having the standards not because we preach it and not because I'm at Fairhaven and this is the way Fairhaven does things. That's so stupid. And it shows your immaturity, your spiritual immaturity. We do things because God says it. And then when somebody changes, our lives aren't ruined. Because our convictions are rooted in the Word of God. And I'm not changing. Because it's Bible. It's simple. And I can have that relationship with God that I need, and He can use me as His vessel. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, let me close with this. Second Timothy chapter 2, again, you probably know the verses, in verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And if you're to read the verses before and the verses after, immediately after he says, flee youthful lust. God is saying, purge yourself of the sin. Purge yourself of the things that take away and keep you from being holy. Purge yourself from those. And you'll be a vessel that's sanctified, that is set apart, that's holy, and ready for God to use. Some of you ladies' homes, you may have china dishes. I think I was 12 or 13 before I knew that we had any. Because I was the second oldest and there were five of us. And I remember one time, I don't remember it was Christmas or Thanksgiving or something, all of a sudden I came in, I'm like, you know, and my son is just like me, I was at that age. And I, wow, Mom, where'd we get the new dishes? She said, son, these dishes are older than you are. I said, really? I didn't know we had these. She said, yep, and there's a reason for that. Don't break them. Why? Why had it been so long? Well, because we had a lot of little kids. She didn't want them broken. And after a while, we began to have them for different people, but we didn't have those every day. They were special for a special purpose. And every one of you are created for a special purpose for God. And that's why you're here. And without being holy, you can't have the relationship with God you're supposed to have. You can't have the marriage or the relationship with your kids or any other person that you're supposed to have. And you cannot fulfill God's will and His plan for your life without being holy. So the question to you tonight is this. What's your attitude towards holiness? Maybe there's certain aspects of it that you've been rejecting and you've been fighting and you're like, I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to sacrifice. Maybe tonight you need to come and just get your attitude straightened out and say, God, I'll do and be whatever you want me to be. Maybe you need to come and say, God, there's an area of my life that I need to surrender and get gone. It's polluting me. It's holding me back from you. Be holy, for I am holy, is what he said. Let's all stand, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Follow after holiness without which